Welcome to our roundtable panel. It is Monday, the 3rd of March, and good morning and welcome to March. Welcome to our first panel discussion and of the month, and good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe.
How are you? Alan is here, University of Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo joins us. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning.
And political consultant Libby Post is here with us. Good morning, Libby.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, all right.
I'll take it.
Somebody bought Carmel vanilla pods for the coffee maker.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's garbage.
I'm going to have one at the break.
Not for the person who likes it.
I'm okay with the vanilla. I don't know about the caramel.
Those whole pod things, aren't they environmentally horrible?
Yes,
I
they,
think
are.
They are.
They're just, and
they make some of them that are biodegradable now.
And expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? How did they get so popular?
They're great. I love them.
You can brew the coffee single serving and not have to make the whole pot and the.
And then it doesn't just sit there and fester and things like that.
I love them.
God, we're lazy.
Okay. Do we want to continue on this, or do we want to go to the
We have one in my office that's actually not hardwired, but hardwired to the plumbing.
Oh, we have the same.
Are you kidding? And then I did the same thing at home.
Yeah. You did do it at home?
Yeah. The plumber was more expensive than the machine.
Yes, than the machine. Sure. Right. I don't know.
As it should be, I think, quite frankly.
My mother does it with the pot, you know, that you sit on the stove and heat it up and it perks into the little bubble on top.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
Oh, that's retro.
And that's good coffee.
It is.
Very good coffee. Even if it's Maxwell House, it's good coffee.
All right. What we're all trying to avoid the tragic news and what is going on around the world. And it's heavy stuff, and it's hard to think about and hard to talk about and hard to really comprehend, but we'll do our best this morning. Ukraine's besieged interim government raced to head off violence that might set off a Russian invasion of its eastern provinces on Sunday, recruiting wealthy eastern businessmen to become provincial governors in an effort to dampen the secessionist sentiment there. As complete Russian control of Ukraine's Crimean Peninsula became a reality on Sunday, with Western officials reporting that thousands more Russian troops are flowing into the region, worries mounted in Kiev that the mostly ethnic Russian East could be next to fall. This is a huge story on many, many levels. Of course, there is the actual unrest that is going on in that part of the world. But also there is the pressure that is on the president to work with Russia on this issue and the tensions, the present tensions and the mounting tensions that remain in that relationship. So I would like to kind of separate it into two different things and first talk about the situation that we know about and talk about Russia's aggression and the move forward. And in some cases, we feared this. And it came true, but I guess maybe the rapidity of it was a bit surprising, at least to me.
I believe we predicted it here. Alan and I both had talked about how this was possible as soon as the Olympics were over.
I think the words that keep running through my brain are KGB colonel. Mm. I mean, this guy was a KGB colonel. He was, a post-Stalinist, but not...
Right. And our president's a Harvard law professor, as one of my Facebook friends noted today. That is not an even battle.
That's true.
I find myself really resenting our government reading about this, and let me tell you why. First, we could solve the problem if we could take over the role of Russia in the life of Ukraine, the way that the Soviet Union took over the U.S. in the role of Cuba. If we had $15 billion for that package that that Moscow has withdrawn, there wouldn't be nearly the crisis there is. We can't afford it because of foolish wars that we've had where our interests were not as directly as at stake. Number two is now that we're in this trouble, which was completely predictable, our response is to try to demonize Putin, which is easy to do. He's an evil guy. However, he's acting no differently than we did in Cuba. We interfere. There's John Kerry saying it's abhorrent that they're interfering in another government, another country for their own interests. Yet, didn't we do that in Panama, Grenada, Nicaragua, Iraq, Afghanistan? They are acting the way strong countries do. And for us to say, well, now we're going to pay you back, we can't really, because he's doing what makes sense to him. He is going to be well-respected in his own country and probably in Ukraine for doing this. He's doing the right thing. He's protecting his country's interests in a country right next to his. He has the influence there. And what are we saying we'll do? Oh, we're not going to let you be in the G8 anymore. Nah, 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 nah. It's just appalling to be watching.
What would you have us do?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's
the alternate step.
Yeah, the alternate step. I mean, actually, the fix, you know, you have to, as someone said when they were unhappy with me, well, Rosemary, I'd like to turn back time. That would be great. If we had a more sensible foreign policy and expenditures, we wouldn't be in this fix.
Well, you know, Fox and Friends and Lindsey Graham and all of those people are having a field day here.
Of course.
And they're saying he's very weak. And I keep yelling at the television, what do you want us to do? What is it you want us to do? You want us to take out the bombs?
And if it was Bush saying, we're not going in, they go, right decision.
I think what's needed is we need to be working with the Europeans to find an economic package that will help the Ukraine, and we need to be talking with Putin about getting him out of there. I mean, he wants the Crimea. There's no question about that. But is that all he wants?
Well, that's right. Where is the stopping point? And I think you said something that is so significant, Rosemary, and that is that the Russian people would seem to be liking this.
I think the Ukrainians, too.
This is offering him. You mean the Crimeans?
Exactly, as opposed to the Ukrainians, the ones closer to the Russian border.
Well, yes. And he has that public support, which is one of the reasons a dictator does things. To garner support. You want to be popular with your people, and he's doing it. But what's next? And by the way, very ominously, the NPR was reporting this morning that he had had conversations, his foreign minister had conversations with the Chinese foreign minister, and surprise, they're getting full support from the Chinese.
Of course they are. We are just where we were, although it's in reverse, in 1963. We were ready to go to war over Cuba. They appear to be ready to go to war over Ukraine. It's so analogous.
But we were what really prepared then, to go to war.
And you don't think Russia is?
No, I think Russia is doing it. I don't think we're prepared to fight with Russia.
We had called a blockade, and had that Soviet ship gone through the blockade, there would have been a bomb. I have no doubt about that from reading, just from reading history. As a 13-year-old, I had a backpack because I thought we were going to a bomb shelter. And I think it's similar to that. So what happened was a whole lot of diplomatic activity by a whole lot of people brought up.
Well, because both sides meant business.
They both gave in, though.
I don't know that we are. Yes, we gave in more than we said
at the time. More than was let out at the time.
Because of Turkey and the encirclement and all the rest of it. Yeah.
So I think that is and must be going on in the background. I think that's why Kerry is going to Ukraine today.
Angela Merkel of Germany told the president by telephone, President Obama, on Sunday that after speaking with Mr. Putin, she was not sure he was in touch with reality. People briefed on the call said, she said, quote, in another world. How do you work with that?
He's in his world. He's in the Putin world.
Putin has totally sized up the West correctly. Angela Merkel was talking to him, last week, saying, oh, we must respect Ukrainian sovereignty. And he said, yes, Angela, you're right. At the same time, he was calling up reserves. The Crimea is Russian, and he feels extremely correct, and so do many of the people in his country and in Ukraine and going in there. We've lost this, I think.
I'm not so sure. I think the fact that there's a political urgency for Obama, who is being widely criticized as being gutless by so many people, I didn't like what Cokie Roberts had to say, to be perfectly honest with you, this morning.
This morning.
What did she say, Alan?
Well, basically, what we've been saying. He's being called. He's being called gutless. And she did not offer any other side to it, which is what disturbed me about it.
What do they want him to do? You're absolutely correct in that. This puts Obama in just a horrible position, especially, don't forget, after Syria, where he did all the saber rattling, lining up all the dogs of war, and then pull back. So now to do that again, wow. But if we go in there, Alan, boy, that's a loss of a whole different and awful sort.
Oh, boy. That's one that could... Remember, both countries have nuclear arms.
Right. This is not a war this country wants to fight. Bottom line.
Libby, I ask you what I asked Rosemary. What would you do? you're the president?
I would try, as much as Rosemary thinks that this isn't going to work, I would try to deal with this along diplomatic lines, economic sanctions against Russia, isolating him and Russia as much as possible. The problem is that no matter what you do, he's sort of like the villain in the James Bond movie. He doesn't care. He's going to do whatever he wants to do. And if he thinks he owns this part of the world, which he thinks he does, and he should have it, then he's going to do it. And we're not going to get into an all-out World War III over this. That'll be the end of humanity as we know it. Right.
There is a possibility that we get into it if he goes outside of Crimea.
You mean if he goes into the rest of Ukraine?
Yes. That's the next step.
Coming.
I don't know about that.
This country doesn't. I mean, you know, Lindsey Graham and everybody, they can just jump up and down all they want because right. That's all just political posturing and saber rattling and all that sort of stuff. The country, the people, for us to send our kids to Russia to fight against people who the majority of the country think historically have hated us and disdained us. There's no political will in the country to do it.
Why I think that Putin is going to end up. I think he could go for all of Ukraine.
I had bet that he would go into the Crimea. I don't think he's going to go into the rest of Ukraine. I think that at that point,
knowing what,
meaning
that his rationale for that would be
that everybody's so furious this way, he stops. He takes his pieces in the chess game.
Alan, he only wants Sudeten land and not the whole country, huh?
No, I think he won. Well, take a look at the map. It's a very interesting map.
It is a very interesting
map.
That's
a self-contained area.
That's right.
Khrushchev gave it to, who was a Ukrainian himself.
Khrushchev gave it to him.
Yeah, gave it to them. Ukraine's. They have a major a Navy base
port.
There.
Right.
I say
nice
this is where it stops. And right. I was right the last time. I'd be right this time.
But I don't think you are. There are many Eastern Ukrainians outside of the part of the Crimea, outside of this little island that's to the south,
right.
Are also pro-Soviet. Pro-Soviet is correct. Yeah. They remember
like
the, old
the old days.
That's
right.
I actually said it right.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue on this conversation and talk about other facets. We welcome your comments, as always, roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support comes from the Adirondack Council. Retiring government-issued air pollution allowances to reduce power plant emissions. AdirondackCouncil.org. Elms College, Chicopee, Massachusetts, working to educate students with their core values of faith, community, justice, and excellence. Elms.edu. And Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York, specializing in European car sales and service for over 20 years. QFCC.com.
Welcome back to our roundtable discussion. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. We are discussing the situation in Ukraine and welcome your comments. I'm curious as to what you think the next step immediately is of where we will be even in 24 and 48 hours. The Secretary of State, John Kerry, has been dispatched by the president to Ukraine. So now, as we've been talking here, sort of long term, what do we do over this, you know, immediate moments?
Well, John Shaughnessy checked in, Joe, and he said, switch up the panels. Putin will self-destruct. The U.S. doesn't need to get involved past economic sanctions and freezing trade. Stop talking about Cuba. It's a completely different issue. No one is going to war over a Russian occupation of Crimea.
Well, John, okay. I don't know how you think it's completely different than Cuba. I'd like to hear more about that. It seems so apt to me.
Well, I was just talking off mic and saying, you know, wars come out of sometimes when you don't expect them. World War One, as opposed to World War Two, you know, an archduke gets shot and boom, it all goes
deteriorated from there.
So what we worry about here is that something terrible would come out of this. That's what I worry about.
So the question,
I don't think anything will happen in 24 hours to answer your question. I think that we'll see more of the same. There's talks beginning because Kerry is over there. The Ukraines, the nationalistic Ukraine government. Is it nationalistic? That's one of the charges that the Soviets are making. And there is some evidence that fascists are flowing in from Europe to be part of this. I'm sorry, I'm thinking in different ways. That bespeaks what you said, Alan, that we do have a World War One pre-set up here.
See, Eric came in. Turkey's outmost important NATO is outmost utmost. I guess he means utmost important NATO ally.
Probably outmost.
Yes,
outmost.
It says outmost here, but it must mean outmost. Could be outmost important NATO ally. We are NATO, of course. Think we're our ally. Controls access to the Black Sea. Shut down Bosphorus. Russia has no navy. Okay, that's what he says. And that's
they don't need a navy to take over Ukraine.
Yeah,
let me point out.
They don't have to go by sea.
By the way, they do have a ship out there. The Russians do.
Yeah, they do.
They've been taking pictures of that all day.
I think we're going to see more build up and maybe the start of some talking today. But I'm predicting in 24 hours we'll be having this conversation again.
Could be
some talking. What do we first item and how do you set the agenda, the tone, I guess.
Oh boy, he's looking at me. Does anybody else want to take that? That's
of talking.
If you I mean, were queen of the world, how would I set this up?
Which, by the way, not a bad idea.
Could do better than that's what they have. Kerry's got to be talking to the new government, the interim government, whatever kind of government it is in Ukraine, and get their act together, and then he has to be talking to the allies and the Europeans to figure out what we actually can do and offer and defend against.
Call me crazy, which some people
You're have. Crazy.
But, you know, part of what might just come out of this is Putin says, we'll withdraw. You put the old president back in.
He doesn't like the old president. He has a complete distaste for him.
I don't think people put up with the old president.
No.
No.
Okay, because I thought that, I mean, the old president's in Russia. He dealt with Putin. He said yes.
You're close to what I think might work, and that's to put in the agreement.
You're getting warmer.
Oh, goody.
The agreement that was signed just before the president was ousted would have allowed for power sharing between pro-Russian and pro-Ukraine national forces. He'd go for that probably. Mm-hmm. Although I don't know, man. I think he's tasting how
power
easy
sharing
it would be
is
to
not
get
his...
back Crimea right now. I think he's seeing, oh, this is going to be easy. I really do.
So interesting to watch this guy. You know, unlike Stalin and these other guys, here's a guy who walks around with his open shirt collar all the time, wades into rock concerts and waves at people, has a new look to the way that he thinks.
It's also important to remember he loved the Soviet Union. He has called the breakup of the Soviet Union a big geopolitical mistake. Yeah, so
I think he'd like it all back together again.
Of course he would. That's the whole point here.
Yeah,
to restart reestablishing the pieces.
Right.
We have to take a break and find out. We'll have a news break and find out the latest on the situation. And when we come back, we will continue and talk about other trouble spots in the world. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back right after this. Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post are here. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Had that weird little throat bubble where I suddenly sound...
Throat bubbles.
Yes.
I know those.
Again, we welcome your comments. Also, Facebook, Twitter, and our webpage, other ways of getting a hold of us. And we'd love to hear your thoughts. We've been talking, we've talked the first half of the show about Ukraine and about Russia and about our influence. And so the other hotspot in the nation, or in the world, rather, is Venezuela. and thousands of anti-government activists marched Sunday to an upper-class Caracas district shaken by more than 2 weeks of unrest, trying to maintain the movement's momentum during a long holiday break. Afterward, several hundred protesters erected barricades, burned tires, and threw rocks and fireworks at National Guard troops, who responded with tear gas in what has become a nearly nightly ritual of clashes. Since mid-February, two people were wounded by shotguns, the district's mayor tweeted, and it is the president, Nicolas Maduro, has sought to dampen protesters' spirits by declaring a seven-day holiday weekend coinciding with this is right. This is different than Spain trying to get rid of the siesta. We're gonna, yeah, we all want you to calm down. Just go take a holiday.
Go have some fun.
By promoting the Sunday sale of subsidized food at government-run markets, and yet the protests continued. Rosemary, this is a topic we were talking about briefly last week.
So happy
something we want to mention
that we are talking about it. This is another area. In fact, all of South America is an area that should be under Americans. You know, we should be paying attention to it. It should be in our focus, and it is not. We don't have money to do what needs to be done there, I fear, because we play around the whole globe instead of concentrating where we ought to. And here is a country that has a great deal of wealth. It's got the largest natural oil reserves, I think, anywhere in the world, even in the Middle East. And yet people are in the streets rioting because they can't afford food. This is a problem, I think, that Chavez, Hugo Chavez, the previous president who died of cancer about a year ago, has brought down. He was such a rock star, such a charismatic figure, that problems he would just talk over and people would say, yeah, okay. And Maduro, his vice president and his self-appointed successor, does not have that star power, and he's getting the after effects of it. I don't know exactly what this means.
What do you think, Lib?
Well, I think Alan doesn't want to say anything. That's what I think.
Well,
but
do you have the buck in your hand that was just passed?
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
I do. I do have that buck.
Good.
Thank you. You know, the thing is that we talk about the United States as the world's policeman. We shouldn't be in that role yet. When these things happen, we want the United States to go in. I mean,
right.
That's what you were just saying,
exactly.
That we should be going in. We have a long history of meddling in Latin America,
right.
You know, that has not been very good for us in the long run. It's why El Salvador happened, why Nicaragua happened, why, Chavez cut off our oil from Venezuela. So it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. And, I don't know what the right thing to do is.
I think
is.
We're just stupid. I mean, Chavez had...
Okay.
Really, I mean, we get involved, you're right, but in always on the wrong side. Chavez had huge support, big problems, but huge support. Why didn't we work with him?
Oh, sure. Obama's going to go and make nice with Chavez.
The friend of Castro.
Right, the friend of Castro.
Okay, well,
and
Castro, let's talk about Cuban policy.
Call him
a
communist
stupid.
Even more, you know, let alone a socialist. Will call Obama a communist. He's getting in bed with, you know, these folks. It politically, some of this is just untenable.
Oh, I know, because we always come back to politics.
Well,
and foreign
that's
policy.
The way it is.
Yeah,
I know,
that's life.
I know. Well, I would like. I hope Hillary will fix this. Go in and deal with foreign policy on a realistic basis. If you have a democratically elected socialist or communist, you don't like try to make them a pariah. It doesn't work. It makes us hated throughout the whole country. That is why we have no influence in Venezuela.
I'm not so sure we don't have any. We say it, there are always these undercurrents of the way in which oil is distributed and who gets it and how they get it. The thing that bothers me about all of this so much always, Rosemary, is that we just don't know what all of our options are, what we're doing. And who the players are.
Who is we? You mean the people or our government?
The government and the people like the Rockefellers. I believe they had something to do with the country for a while. We just don't know who the players are and what the secret agreements, as Woodrow Wilson would say, secretly arrived at have been. And by the way, Hillary Clinton going in there, are you kidding? I mean, if there's one thing the Clintons know, it's that how to play the game. They want us, you get into power for the first 4 years, you want the second 4 years. And you're not going to do anything that would endanger
you
that.
You need to get yourself off the president as messiah kick. You had that with Obama.
I never had it with Obama. I always thought he was the weak loser that he's proving himself to be in Ukraine. You can't just think these things through.
What do you mean a weak loser? I take some exception to that. How is he a weak loser?
Oh, come on. Tell me some of his foreign policy successes.
No, I'm asking you a question.
Tell me some of his domestic policy successes.
We don't know. We don't know. We don't know
what you guys need to get off the idea that we don't care.
We don't know how bad it could have been if he wasn't there.
You want to know some domestic? I'll give you some domestic policy successes.
Gay.
Okay. Look at my community. Look at the lesbian gay community. We've gotten more under this president than we've ever gotten before.
Well, didn't you say foreign policy?
Yeah. No,
I said domestic.
Oh, you domestic.
We got Bin Laden. There were 39 million people
who didn't have health care
right. I mean, there's a lot of good things.
Wait, that number is nowhere near that number.
Well, no, we can't. Are eligible for it.
And I totally am in favor and support and applaud everything about the gay community, but that was not our most pressing issue, especially in foreign policy, although that could be
true. So what would you rather do?
He has not done any of the hard things.
Okay, so let me focus you for a moment. So when it comes to foreign policy, where do you think the biggest weakness has been, as far as whether that's character or an example, and also because that has been the rap from the very beginning that he had little foreign policy experience. That's the rap that's being used now, that he has little foreign policy experience, and it's showing.
Right.
So if you're going to go with that position, what do you say? Okay, this is the could have been instead.
I think John Kerry and Hillary Clinton before him had the right idea, which is you work with the governments that you're giving. That's not interference in government because of their politics, which we don't like. We don't hate Venezuela because they have a left-of-center president, for example. You work with who's there. We don't not talk to Iran because we don't like their president. We deal with all of them. And we need clearly identified national interests and figure out how we go get them. I'm all in favor of a foreign policy that promotes our best interests. I don't see that we've done that either. We've spent a ton of money, not gotten anything we needed, including cheap gas. If we're going to invade countries in the Middle East, why is my gas bill so high?
I'll talk to the Koch brothers about that.
You know, one of the problems here is everybody in checks conspiratorial theories into this. There are people who think that the United States is behind the whole Ukrainian, revolution. Right. And in fact, we just had a nice letter from Alan on that. Part of this is, what did you want him to do? He makes the point, by the way, that Putin saved our hash in Syria. That's his point.
He did.
Yeah, and that therefore, you know, this is, I don't know, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but somewhat understandable or allowable. It's just a tough thing to decide when you don't know who's pushing the buttons.
I don't know. We pay an awful lot of money for intelligence, and they're tapping all our phone lines. How come they don't know?
No. It's not that they don't know. They know. We don't know. In other words, there's a difference between the people who were in power and the rest of us. I mean, one of my problems with Obama was when we got all of this information from these two major sources, and all of a sudden we said, you know, we Americans are being ruled, but the basis of democracy from the people, demos, is that we can't, that we don't know what's happening. So, and when we find out via all of these illegal, you know, and surreptitious ways of getting information, well, we say arrest the guys for giving us the information we don't have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We welcome your input. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after the short break.
Support comes from Emma Willard, an all-girl boarding school working to help students discover their own voices. EmmaWillard.org. And The Bardavon, presenting the Hudson Valley Philharmonic Beethoven's Fifth, March 8th, Ballet Hispanico, March 15th, and The Met Live in HD, Massenet's Werther, March 22nd. Bardavon.org. ¶¶
welcome to the program, and it is a pleasure to have you back. We're going to switch gears quite a bit and talk about some other issues, including marijuana. We have spoken a lot about the issue over the past several weeks and months about the legalization of pot, especially in states like Colorado and Washington, as well as the legalization of medicinal marijuana, even some policies put forward in New York State. The question in California, legalizing marijuana in California, Governor Jerry Brown says he believes the law would hurt the state. Jerry Brown said he is not sure legalizing pot is a good idea in a state because the country could lose its competitive edge if too many people are getting stoned. If pot smoking gains more legitimacy in the nation's most populous state, Brown said he worries it could have a negative ripple effect.
I think it's much ado about nothing. And if we want to have some money to be able to go intervene, as Rosemary would like us to do, legalize marijuana, we'll close the deficit, we'll be in a much better financial position.
And the mafia won't be getting the money.
Right, right, and won't be going to organized crime. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, and I will say this over and over again, alcohol is legal in this country. Plenty of people go to work drunk. Plenty of people... work is not being done because of alcohol. So to say, oh, work's not going to be done because of marijuana is, I think, disingenuous. You know, we're adults.
And to add it to that, there will be people who will write us, so you don't have to, and say that alcohol is worse than marijuana, yeah. A lot worse
right.
than marijuana.
Right, right.
There are those people who say that.
Yes, there are.
I don't like legislation that's made only for those who will break the law rather than for the rest of us. You know, so for example, the yeah. FDA laws that we talked about,
sure.
we're going to hold back on some pills that could help a few people because a lot of other people might become addicted to them. You make laws for the majority of the population. So I think you're right there, Libby.
And I will say the governor has seemed to be open to it and said he would consider, certainly watch closely what is happening in Colorado and Washington and how they handle their new laws and see what happens next. I don't think he's completely closed the door, but has expressed the concern, which, by the way, I think is a concern that most have at the beginning when this is brought
right.
up as a proposal.
Let's remember that this guy used to be Mayor Moonbeam.
Right.
And he was sort of ejected for his too liberal views. So we've seen this before. Somebody said, well, okay, that didn't work, so I'm going to try something else now. And he tries something else, and he says, you know, we're going to have everybody stoned, and we have a stone state, and that's why we have to. That's why we have to do this now. I always look.
He wasn't. Excuse me. He wasn't called Moonbeam because of drug use, though, was he?
No,
he was just out there.
Yeah, he was out there.
He did one good thing, and that was to date Linda Ronstadt.
Date Linda Ronstadt. That's
smart
right.
move. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Just
kind of watching that show.
Got anything else?
I do indeed. I have many other things. Let us talk about the Supreme Court to revisit the IQ rule in death penalty cases. And the Supreme Court will consider on Monday whether Florida's bright line rule for determining which defendants are quote unquote mentally retarded and thus ineligible for the death penalty violates the Constitution. This seems to be a... One of those questions that it comes up from time to time. Florida, which ranks second after Texas in the number of executions last year, allows anyone with an IQ above 70 to be executed. So that question is being brought before the Supreme Court.
Darn! I just almost made it.
As much as there are times when I'd like to see people get punished in that way for their crimes, this is the reason why we should not have capital punishment. At all.
It is or it isn't?
It is.
It is. It's a reasonable
motion. It's why we should not be putting people to death.
Because it's not.
Because
it's not fair.
It's not cut and dry. It's, you know, we found so many instances where the wrong person has been put to death.
Right.
You know, it's time for us to
be a
civilized nation.
I don't want to get on the death penalty, but the fact is when I read that a police officer who was killed If you kill a police officer, you're subjected to the death penalty. But if you're somebody else,
yeah,
you kill somebody else, like, you know, somebody in my family, something like that, you're not subjected to the death penalty. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, it's time for us to just say enough already and just outlaw capital punishment in this country.
Well, I have an issue with it having to do with, you know, that IQ is even brought into it, right? I mean, that seems to be like, what is the, you know, what's the cutoff? What, you know,
well,
you get into this name of numbers.
This person knew what they were doing or not. Whether they had the mental capacity to make the right decision to be taken in by someone else who was smarter and could manipulate the person. I mean, there's lots of issues here. And that's part of what's going on here.
Whether they can participate
right,
in their own
right.
defense.
Well, absolutely.
And whether he knew what he was doing. Whether he realized what was going on.
And that's but that's what I mean. It's a hard thing to, as you say, it's certainly far from cut and dried.
Right.
It's a hard thing to prove. But in anybody, I mean, you know, in anybody's case, but where were they at that moment? What was going on? What was happening? It seems like a difficult thing to argue.
And it's an emotional response from people because, as I said, there were times when, you know, when we look at the guy who did the Boston Marathon bombings, it's like,
yeah, we didn't even want to bury the dead brother.
Yeah, you know, there's a part
Leave
of me that's
like the dogs and the
look how many people he killed. He should get the chair, but when you look at it from a global perspective and take the emotion out of it and look at it rationally, too many people have died who shouldn't have.
That seems to me to be the major issue, always has been, that I keep coming back to because, you know, I mean, I understand why people who've had first-degree relatives murdered in a heinous way want reciprocity. I get that.
Right.
But the business of all of these people who turn out not to have done it, with DNA, you know, and all the rest, that is really the stopper.
Yes.
There's just a certain glee that it seems to be done with in Texas and Florida, too. Oh,
yes.
My God.
Yeah. Yeah, they love great pride. Capital punishment down there.
Wow. I mean, it does not have to do with there's more heinous crime or better police investigation in those states. That's just messed up.
There is, and by the way, when I said the term mentally retarded, using that as in quotations, but this goes back, this particular case goes back to the 1960s, where that, with the way the law was written, that was the terminology
used. I guess
used.
We don't say that anymore.
No, it's right. Mentally disabled, and it is, so, I mean, that in and of itself shows where we've come on the issue and how we should, or we should have, and how we discuss it. Why are you rolling your eyes?
Well, because I don't like euphemisms. I understand the idea to humanize people who have diseases, but I think the terminology we use now actually hides what we're talking about and makes it more
difficult. I'm sorry, I'm not following.
We use terms, visually impaired, not the same as blind. What does that mean? Or what he is developmentally disabled. I have no idea what the malady is then. So these terms.
Well, I don't know. Would you know that from mentally retarded?
Yes.
Because that's what you grew up with. And people now are growing up with developmentally disabled. And it's
There's a wide spectrum. Sure. I mean, I think
there's a wide spectrum. That's what I'm saying. I think it blurs what's really going on.
Well, but you know, the groups who have been prejudiced against. Quite frequently, when they can't get an awful lot done, although they do, quite frequently, have to find some victories. And one of those victories is changing the name.
Right.
Well, I don't like it, and I'll say that, but I have always said that people deserve to be called what they wish to be called. If you change your name, I need to call you by your new name.
Right.
Cassius Clay is not Cassius Clay anymore.
Muhammad
okay,
Ali.
I get that. So in that case, yes, I go with it. I certainly don't violate the rules, but I think it's obscured.
But it's also a political. It's also a political tactic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Certainly.
It makes it sound like things are better when really nothing has been done. Mm-hmm. It's like calling public housing projects gardens. Same thing. We didn't fix them.
Oh, I don't think that's the same thing.
Yes, it is. It's a euphemism.
No, I disagree.
Oh.
No, I think it. No, no.
What do you mean no?
I think it's very different because I believe you. I absolutely agree with you that it can be used for. Now we don't have time for Oscars.
I hate that. Well, we have to talk about Astros. We'll come back to this.
Okay, all right.
Well, there is one more letter I think I should share with you. Somebody who disagreed with Rosemary.
I can't believe it.
Lucy, who said, I love Lucy in the morning, but I have to take issue with Rosemary this morning when she says Obama has not accomplished much of value. I am Rosemary's age and can't remember any president that has faced more opposition regardless of what policy he tries to promote.
Yeah. Like, that's his excuse. He hasn't done much because the Republicans, right? Like, well, he didn't know there were going to be Republicans against him when he came in.
Well, you think Lucy doesn't have a good point there?
Don't think it's a good excuse, no.
Oh.
Okay. And then if he did everything by fiat, you'd say he's being a dictator. So, you know, he's working within this confines.
He promised me something else, Libby. That's why I
like
there.
What Libby said. Okay.
Okay, let's talk about the Oscars.
Can we talk about the Oscars? Yes. So what'd you think?
I think Kim Novak coming out was so cruel. Why do we do that?
God.
And Sidney Poitier, and we did that once with Kurt Douglas. Don't do that. It's mean.
Kim Novak, what? She couldn't move her face.
Oh my God, it was just terrifying. And Matthew McConaughey, I loved him in that role. I was so glad he won.
Dallas Buyers Club won the best actor.
Yes, ridiculous speech. Yeah. I would have liked him if he got up and said, "How did he lose 40 pounds?" I would have listened to that speech.
Since I was asleep, you can just characterize what the speech was.
He was basically saying there's three rules he lives by. Yeah. One is God, one is his family, and the other one is that he is his own personal hero.
Yeah.
It was a little hard to take. And I'm sitting there thinking,
why does that beautiful woman who is his wife even like this guy? It was horrible.
Yeah.
Let's see. I love the best acceptance speech was the man-woman team who won for Frozen.
They rhymed it. They have a long list, but it all rhymes.
Yeah, and they, that was fabulous. Right.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
They're really great.
Yeah.
The worst/best moment of the night, John Travolta trying to say Anita Mazelle.
Yes.
The best moment
it
of the night.
It was amazing.
I'm not a John Travolta fan, and hopefully he'll never work again.
He blew the line. Harrison Ford.
I'm a big John Travolta fan. I love John Travolta. What are you people talking about?
Oh, you don't know the new one.
Oh, no.
He had one line to say, and he flubbed
it.
But Harrison Ford reading off of the teleprompter, or kind of stumbling over the teleprompter, also a bad moment.
I like him, too.
I love Harrison Ford.
Good moment was the acceptance speech from the best supporting actress.
Yes.
Lupita. I'm sorry, I don't
know. Yeah,
that they played on NPR this morning, so that I heard.
Yeah, she was really beautiful. I did like that. And what did we think of Ellen?
Who?
Ellen DeGeneres. She was the host.
I gave her high marks. I thought it was really great. I mean, considering the last 2 years have been disasters. Or at least there have been 2 years.
Who were the last 2 years?
Well, there was Seth MacFarlane, and then actually Billy Crystal was in there, and he did a good job. And then before that, it was Anne Hathaway and James Franco, and they were awful.
And Seth MacFarlane was bad. I want Billy Crystal to come back.
Yeah, well, we want Billy Crystal every year. Yeah.
Exactly.
He doesn't want to do it, though.
Bring him back as a hologram. I just wish
it all seemed a little gimmicky to me what Ellen was doing in the audience.
But it was entertaining, I thought, you know, and you didn't really know what was happening. And when you saw her there, it was like, oh, okay, I can't walk away right now because I want to see what she's going to do.
My mother said, maybe she'll pop up in the ladies' room next.
Yeah, I read your tweet out of that, or your Facebook post. I agree. I thought the Lupita Nyong'o speech was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, was.
Really beautiful speech. And Steve McQueen's
also.
Actually,
for
12 Years a Slave, which won Best Picture last night. Okay, we welcome your comments. roundtable@wamc.org. Thank you all.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
The roundtable continues after this short break.